Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed. But I want to say happy Sunday, and welcome to the second Sunday, and we are starting a new series. Everybody say new series. And we're going to be in this series for the next 2 months, and we're going to have some powerhouse speakers. Pastor Jay is going to sit down for a little bit and take a little break, and we're going to have some great speakers come up and speak on what we're going to talk about for this next series. And the name of this series is entitled, It's the Principles for Me. How many of you all have seen that when everybody posts on social media, they're posting, they say, well, it's the smile for me, or it's the shoes for me, or it's the happiness for me. But we're going to use that, and we're going to say, it's the principles for me. It's the principles for me. And I'm going to use for a topic this morning, I'm unbothered. Everybody say, I'm unbothered. So we're going to talk about, in this series, we're going to talk about Proverbs, and we're going to talk about the principles of Proverbs, because there's many principles found in Proverbs that teaches us how to live. Remember last week we talked about, I just want to live right, and that Christ came that we may have life and have life more abundantly. But the question is, do we know how to live? Do we know how to live a wisdom-filled life? Do we know how to live a kingdom-filled life? So today we want to talk from the subject, I'm unbothered. And I'm going to put a spin on this, because I know a lot of people be like, I'm unbothered by that, but I'm going to put a spin on this today. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. And we're going to start with chapter 1, and we're going to talk about chapter 2 next week. And then I'm not going to tell you what we're going to talk about the rest of the Sundays. You're just going to have to be in the building or watching on live stream. And so, hey to everybody that's watching us on live stream. We are thankful that you joined us here on this Sunday. We know there were many live streams that you could have joined, but we appreciate you joining into our live stream. So everybody at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. Proverbs is in the Old Testament, by the way. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. And this is what the scripture says. It says this, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It says this, but the one who always listens to me, now this is wisdom speaking, will live undisturbed in a heavenly peace, free from fear, confident and courageous, that one will rest unafraid and sheltered from the storms of life. I'm going to read this two more times because I really want you to hear what the scripture is saying. It says, but the one who always listens to me, once again, this is wisdom talking, will live undisturbed in a heavenly peace, free from fear, confident and courageous, that one will rest unafraid and sheltered from the storms of life. Maria, one more time. But the one who always listens to me will live undisturbed in a heavenly peace, free from fear, confident and courageous, that one will rest unafraid and sheltered from the storms of life. So what is this scripture saying? The scripture is saying that you are going to have storms in your life. Everyone is going to have a storm in their life. But guess what? Storms don't last forever. Storms don't last always. And so when we understand that storms don't last forever and storms don't last always, then that's when we can rest unafraid. See, the other night it was a storm coming through, and our dog Roxy, she does not like storms whatsoever, right? So when it's storming, she starts to walk in and pacing and getting afraid, and the lightning and the thundering and the wind, and she's just afraid. And meanwhile, Lady Pilar is just snoring away. Here I am having to get Roxy. I have to get Roxy and put her in the bathroom because she likes to pace during the storm. But she doesn't know that the storm is not going to last always. She doesn't know that. She just knows that she's in the moment. So what is this? What is an unbothered life? What is an unbothered life? Ask me, somebody ask me that. What is? What is an unbothered life? And listen, it's going to be really wordy, but I want you to write this down for those of you who are taking notes. An unbothered life is an unusual, principle-filled life that inspires the action of honest living, of devotion to God and His will for your life. I'm going to read that again. An unbothered life is an unusual, principle-filled life that inspires the action of honest living, of devotion to God and His will for your life. So let me break it down for you in layman's term. An unbothered life follows the principles of wisdom. An unbothered life follows the principles of wisdom. So I want to reframe your mind in this, because we always hear people say, I'm unbothered by that. And meanwhile, they're bothered by it, right? But I want to rephrase your perspective of an unbothered life. So we're not speaking of unbothered here in the sense of laziness or indifference to life. We are speaking of unbothered as in trusting the one who gave us life. And so Proverbs chapter 1 verse 33 is basically saying that when you put your trust in God and when you allow your trust and your alignment to be in right standing and right relationship with Christ, then you can live an unafraid life. You can live a life, you don't have to worry about the storms of life. Yeah, the storms are going to come, but you have to understand the one who created the storms. See, all storms don't come to destruct your life. Some storms come to clear your path. See, there's some things that are in your way that the storm has to come to clear your path. See, a lot of times we think storms come to mess our life up. Oh, God, why you put me in this storm? Why this storm had to happen? Let's look at Jesus when they were in the storm, right? When the disciples were in the storm, they were on the boat, right? Now, Jesus had told them they were going to go to the other side, right? And so Jesus was asleep during the storm because he was unafraid, because he knew the storm wasn't going to last always. See, when you put your trust in Christ, and when you focus on a life full of wisdom, you know that the storm is not going to last always. And so today it is hard for people to live an undisturbed, unafraid, unbothered life because they have not chosen wisdom. We have not chosen wisdom. So God has given us a choice between wisdom and folly. He's given us a choice between wisdom and folly. And throughout this whole series, we're going to unpack what wisdom is. We're going to teach you what wisdom is, because I want you to live a life full of wisdom. I don't want you to live a life full of folly. And a lot of us in the church live a life full of folly. And so most people would say they choose wisdom, but they choose folly. And folly is what is folly? Folly is this. Folly is just foolishness and lack of good sense. That's all it is. Folly is foolishness and lack of good sense. And so we can choose folly by our decisions we make. We can choose folly by the words that we speak. We can choose folly by the thoughts that we think. Because remember, thoughts become things. So if I choose foolish thoughts, then I'm going to have a foolish reality. See, a lot of us are living in a foolish reality because we've chosen foolish thoughts. We've said foolish words. We've created foolish narratives. And so God wants us to get into the Word so we can understand wisdom, because when we understand wisdom, then we will live an unbothered life. See, God wants you to live an unbothered life. Say this with me. God wants me to.
God wants me to.
Live an unbothered life. So when we choose foolishness over wisdom, it has a way of becoming bitter fruit. When we choose foolishness over wisdom, it has a way of becoming bitter fruit. See, your ways can be sweet fruit or your ways can be bitter fruit. And how many of you all, so I know we talked about this last month about how out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? You shall know them by their fruits, right? And so God looks at us as a tree. He looks at us like a tree, right? And so when Jesus healed a blind man one time, when he first healed him, the man said, I see men walking as what? Trees, right? You see men walking as trees. And so the scripture tells us in Psalms that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, right? And so that means that God views us as trees. He views us as trees. And so our ways can either be bitter fruit or our ways can be sweet fruit. So listen to this, my next key point, which is this. When you choose wisdom, you will be nourished by the decisions you make. See, when you choose a life full of wisdom, you will be nourished by those decisions, because those decisions will create a life for you that is unparalleled with the world's way of doing things, because you have chosen wisdom. You have given reverence to God. You have sought wisdom. And next week, we're going to talk about seeking wisdom. We're going to talk about seeking wisdom. But when you choose folly, you will be malnourished by the decisions that you make. So when you choose foolishness, guess what happens? Your life is going to become a testament of the choice of foolishness that you made.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? When you choose foolishness, your life is going to become a testament of the choices of the folly and the foolishness that you made. If you don't believe me, let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30 through 32. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30 through 32, because I don't want you to be like, Pastor Jason, just out there making stuff up. So this is what it says. It says, because you have scoffed at my wise counsel and laughed at my correction, now you will eat the bitter fruit of your own ways. You've made your own bed, now lie in it. So how do you like that? Like an idiot, you turned away from me and chosen destruction instead. Your self-satisfied smugness will kill you. And so the choices, when you choose foolish choices, you set yourself up to live in destruction. You see, God does not want us to live in destruction. He wants us to understand life, because he sent his son that we may have life and have life more abundantly. But when I make the choices based off foolish thoughts, then I cannot experience that abundant life that God has for me. See, one small decision can change your life forever. One small decision can change your life forever. See, we have to, when it comes to making decisions for our life, we have to seek wisdom when it comes to making decisions for our life. Because when we seek our own way, then we go down a path that we don't necessarily want to go down. But when we choose God's way, which is a way full of wisdom, then we can live an unbothered life. When a storm comes, we don't have to be afraid. When things happen to us, we don't have to worry. We don't have to go through mental stress. We don't have to go through mental anxiety because of the decision that we made. And so let's go up. We're, and I don't know if you notice what I'm doing here, but I'm really going from Proverbs 1:33 on up. So let's read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 29. It's going to get a little wordy, but hang in there with me, okay? So this is what it says. It says this. It says, wisdom's praises are sung in the streets and celebrated far and wide. Yet wisdom's song is not always heard in the halls of higher learning.
Amen.
And so it doesn't matter how much education you get. Wisdom is not necessarily found in your educational status. Wisdom, and hear me, I'm not saying that education is bad. I'm not saying that. I'm a big advocate for expanding your mind, because Pastor Jay likes to learn. I like to learn new things and new sectors, because I want to be able to expand my mind, because the decision that I make now to expand my mind will help a generation that is to come after me and the generation that's going to come after them.
Amen.
And so it says this, yet wisdom's song is not always heard in the halls of higher learning, but in the hustle and bustle of everyday life. Its lyrics can always be heard above the din of the crowd. You will hear wisdom's warning as she preaches courageously to those who stop to listen. Foolish ones, how long will you cling to your deception? How much longer will you mock wisdom, you cynical scorners who fight the best? Come back to your senses and be restored to reality. Don't even think about refusing my rebuke. Don't you know that I'm ready to pour out my spirit of wisdom upon you and bring to you the revelation of my words? that will make your heart wise. I've called to you over and over, still you refuse to come to me. I pleaded with you again and again, yet you turn a deaf ear to my voice. Verse 25, because you have laughed at my counsel and have insisted on continuing in your stubbornness, I will laugh when your calamity comes and will turn away from you at the time of your disaster. Make a joke of my advice, will you? Then I'll make a joke out of you. When the storm clouds of terror gather over your head, when dread and distress consume you, and your catastrophe comes like a hurricane, you will cry out to me, but I won't answer. Then it will be too late to expect my help when desperation drives you to search for me. I will be nowhere to be found. Because you have turned up your nose at me and closed your eyes to the facts and refused to worship me in awe. So in all of that, wisdom was speaking to three classes of sinners according to the scripture. Wisdom was speaking to three types of people. Did you catch those three types of people? If you didn't, we're going to catch them right now. So wisdom speaks to the simple ones, the scorners, the mockers, and the fools. So wisdom was speaking to the simple people. Wisdom was speaking to the people who mocked wisdom. And wisdom was speaking to the fool. Now there is a difference between these three different classes. There's a difference between the simple ones. There's a difference between the mockers. There's a difference between the fools. And so let's break it down all the way. The simple are naive people who believe anything but examine nothing. They are gullible and easily led astray. Amen. So the simple will hear something. Right. Hear something in the streets, right? They'll hear something on the news. And they'll repeat it, but they won't examine it. They won't go through and say, okay, is this truth according to the word of God? Or is this a faux truth? Is this a fake truth? What is this? See, that's what the simple does. The simple doesn't even, they don't even care. They're like, oh, did you hear about such and such, such and such? And it's not even true. And so what happens is they become confined to their simple mindset. They become confined to what the world says, and they live, and it's almost like they live in this echo chamber. What's the echo chamber? Echo chamber is this. The echo chamber is whatever I say, I'm looking for the same thing to come back to me. So that's what an echo chamber is. So that's really what the simple are. So they're easily led astray and they're gullible. So that's the simple. The next class of sinners that wisdom was talking to were the scorners. And the scorners can be also broken down to scoffers or mockers. See, the scorners think this. They think they know everything. And they laugh at the things that are really important. They laugh at the things that are really important. They say, okay, well, I know this. See, scorners, they live in an air of pride. They live in an air of, I know everything, so you can't tell me anything. That's a dangerous place to be in. See, when you feel like you know everything and you cannot allow anyone to teach you, see, you can learn from, see, you can learn from anyone at any time in any place. The question is, are you willing and ready to open up to be able to learn from anybody at any time at any place? Because if you have a air of pride, you're gonna break down your learning. You're not gonna learn anymore. See, because you're going to say, okay, well, I know everything, so I don't have to learn anymore because I know everything. And so scorners, they think they know everything, but yet they know nothing. Yet they know nothing. They know anything. They don't know anything. Let me give you some better English on that, because I know I got some English people in like, they know nothing? That's a double negative. Pastor Jake, do you know English and grammar? So I'm not a scorner, okay? All right, so. Wisdom talks to the simple, wisdom talks to the scorner, but wisdom also talks to the fools. What are fools, Pastor Jay? Fools are people who are ignorant of truth because they're dull and stubborn. So their issue isn't a low IQ or poor education. Their problem is a lack of spiritual desire to seek and find God's wisdom. Amen. And so the fool says this, Okay, I have the IQ in the world, but I don't have the IQ in the scripture. I don't have the IQ in spirit. I don't have the IQ in wisdom. So they refuse to seek God's wisdom. And so a lot of decisions that we have made without consulting God has led us to be bothered by the pain that comes with those decisions. So we have been in one of those classes of sinners. We have been either the simple, we think that everything goes without examining nothing. We have been the scorner, where we think we know everything and we can't learn. And I've been in that mindset before, and it's not a good mindset to be in. It's not a good mindset to be in. When you are a scorner, you think you know everything, it almost constricts you to be conformed to what you know. And so when you're conformed to what you know, then you can't even grow. See, God wants us to grow from glory to glory. See, we're not just supposed to stay the same. We're not supposed to stay the same, because if you stay the same, see, thank you, Holy Spirit. See, if you come to church, you've been coming to church for all of your life, but you hadn't allowed wisdom and Holy Spirit to change you, and you say, well, this is just who I am. Mm-hmm. See, that is a mindset of the scorner, because you say, well, this is just who I am, and this is just who I'm going to be. And God does not want us to be like that. So listen, I'm not saying that we won't live a pain-free life. I am saying that the decisions we have chosen because of our own folly has created more pain than we can anticipate. And so the decisions that we've chosen because of folly, it has caused pain we have gone through undue pain that we hadn't necessarily needed to go through. And so listen to this quote from Roy Bennett. He says this. He says, every choice comes with a consequence. Once you make a choice, you must accept responsibility. You cannot escape the consequences of your choices, whether you like them or not. And so every choice that you make is going to have a consequence behind it. It's going to have a good consequence, or it's going to have a bad consequence. And so why not seek wisdom so that you can live in the good consequences of life? See, a lot of us, we don't want to choose wisdom because we know that wisdom, we know wisdom will be good, but we want to choose folly because it feels good. And see, when you choose folly because it feels good, then you miss out on what is good for your life. See, what feels good for your life is not necessarily good for your life. And so, in order for the decisions we make to have a positive impact on our life, we must reverence the one who created us. And so this leads me to my next key point, which is this. True morality is based on right relation to God. See, true morality, see, when we are truly moral, it's because we are in right standing and right relationship with God, with Christ. And so when we are out of alignment with God, we are out of alignment with true morality. When we are out of alignment with true morality, we cannot live an honest life. Because in order for things to line up, in order for your life to line up the way God created it, you have to be in alignment with God. Because when you are in alignment with God, then you are in alignment with true morality. And when you are in alignment with true morality, you can live an honest life. You can live the unbothered life. You can live the unafraid life. You can live the life that is unusually principled because you are in devotion to Christ. And so God desires for us to reign in life, because when we reign in life through following revelatory wisdom. See, wisdom is in Proverbs. You can read the wisdom. But until it becomes a revelation to you, then that's when you will start to see it happen in your life. And so what is revelatory wisdom? Revelatory wisdom is this. It's wisdom that has always been there, but just now revealed to you. So if I was to cover up these drums and you did not know they were there, and I was to uncover them, then you would know, okay, that is there. It's always been there. See, wisdom has always been there. It just hasn't been revelatory to your life yet. Because when it becomes revelatory to your life, then you can apply it to your life and you can see the benefits of applying the revelation of wisdom to your life. And so a lot of things have not been revealed to you because you keep choosing your own way. A lot of things have not been revealed to you because you keep choosing your own way. So you keep saying, okay, well, I'm going to do this like this, and I'm going to do this like this. See, I see it all the time when it comes to people in their finances. They want to have more, but they haven't applied the revelatory wisdom of sowing to get more.
Amen.
See, they think that, okay, if I work, I get more. But then what ends up happening when you work, you end up spending out more without really honoring God with the finances, honoring God with the first fruit of your income, honoring God with your time. So people want more, but people don't want to sow to get more. And so that wisdom is there, but it hasn't become revealed wisdom to them. It hasn't become revelatory wisdom to them. And so let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And I'm almost done. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And when you get a chance, I want you to go home and read Proverbs chapter 1. Just want you to read it. Read Proverbs chapter 1. Everyone there? If you're not, say, wait on me. Because I'm not going to wait on you. Because we've been in Proverbs chapter 1 the whole time. So this is what it says. It says, here are kingdom revelations, words to live by, and words of wisdom given to empower you to reign in life. Written as proverbs from Israel's King Solomon, David's son. Within these things will be found the revelation of wisdom and the impartation of spiritual understanding. Use them as keys to unlock the treasures of true knowledge. Those who cling to these words will receive discipline to demonstrate wisdom in every relationship and to choose what is right and just and fair. Let me read that again. Those who see, you can tell if a person has chosen wisdom based on how their relationships are.
Amen.
Because if your relationships are out of line, that means that you have not chosen wisdom to guide you in your relationship. This is what the scripture says. It says, those who cling to these words will receive discipline to demonstrate wisdom. So wisdom has to be demonstrated.
Amen.
You can't just know it. It has to be demonstrated. And so your wisdom has to be demonstrated in your relationships. And so it says, those who cling to these words will receive discipline to demonstrate wisdom in every relationship and to choose what is right and just and fair. And so that means that when I demonstrate wisdom in my relationships, I'm going to choose what's right, just, and fair. I'm not just going to choose what is right, just, and fair for myself. I'm going to choose what is right, just, and fair for others as well. So that means that I'm not going to speak to them any type of way. That means I'm not going to treat them any type of way because I'm demonstrating wisdom in my relationships.
Amen.
So verse 4, these proverbs will give you great skill to teach the immature and make them wise, to give youth the understanding of their design and destiny. See, we should be teaching wisdom to the younger generations to give them understanding of their design and their destiny. See, your design and destiny is found in wisdom. It's found in God. It's found in Christ. It's found in Holy Spirit. And so God wants us to understand our design and destiny. Because when we understand our design and destiny, then we can help others understand their design and destiny. But when you don't understand your design and destiny, then you're gonna throw people off their design and destiny because you are operating out of an immature spirit. You are operating out of an immature spirit. And so these proverbs will give you great skill to teach the immature and make them wise. So first, wisdom has to make you wise. Wisdom has to give great skill to you who are immature and make you wise. So verse 5 says this, for the wise, these proverbs will make you even wiser. Did you hear that? For the wise, these proverbs will make you even wiser. And for those with discernment, you will be able to acquire brilliant strategies for leadership. Verse 6, these kingdom revelations will break open your understanding to unveil the deeper meaning of parables, poetic riddles and epigrams, and to unravel the words and enigmas of the wise. We cross the threshold of true knowledge when we live in abundant and obedient devotion to God. Stubborn know-it-alls will never stop to do this, for they scorn true wisdom and knowledge. And so God wants us to reign in life, but in order for us to reign in life, we're going to have to demonstrate wisdom. We're going to demonstrate wisdom in our relationship with ourselves. See, you have a relationship with yourself, too. Did you know that? See, the scripture says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Then that means that you have a relationship with yourself, right? And so when you love your neighbor as you love yourself, then you have a relationship with yourself, and then you're able to truly love others. But when you don't understand the relationship with yourself, because you don't understand the relationship with God, then you cannot live in alignment with wisdom. And so the question becomes this: how do I live an unbothered life? How do I live an unbothered life? And so it's going to take this. It's going to take us moving from unresponsiveness to responsiveness to wisdom. And so a lot of us have been unresponsive to wisdom. We've been unresponsive to wisdom's call. And the scripture said in verse 20 that wisdom stands in the street and calls. And they liken wisdom to a woman. So she stands in the streets and she calls, right? And so we must move from unresponsiveness to responsiveness to wisdom. Number two is this: we must move from undevotion to devotion to God. What are you? Who are you devoted to? Are you devoted to God? Are you devoted to Christ? Who are you devoted to? See, a lot of us are living an undevoted life. See, we think we're devoted to God, but based on how we treat others, how we love others, how we respond to others, then we're really not living a life of devotion to God. And so, one, we move from unresponsiveness to responsiveness. We move from undevotion to devotion. And lastly is this: we move from an undeveloped to a developed relationship with God. See, God wants you to develop your relationship with Him. See, you're not just going to get saved and just going to know everything all at once. God wants us to develop a relationship with Him. And so that's going to take you being open to learning what God has to give to you. And He gives it to you through wisdom. And so how do you live an unbothered life? I'm going to go over it again. We move from unresponsiveness to responsiveness to wisdom. We move from undevotion to devotion to God. And we move from undeveloped to develop a right relationship with God. We gotta have that relationship with God, because when we reverence God, we're going to talk about fear, right? It's not fear as in afraid, it's fear as in reverence. And so when we reverence God, we reverence God with our life, we reverence God with the choices that we make, we reverence God with how we treat others. Because the scripture says, how can you say you love God, but hate your brother and sister, who you can see? See, we can't see God, but we can see our brother and sister. You can see me, I can see you. So how can you say you love God, but hate your brother and sister? And so we're going to talk about this series, because I really want you to understand the principles. I really want you to live an unbothered life. And an unbothered life is this: it is a life of complete peace.
Yes, indeed.
It's a life of complete peace, a peace that goes past your understanding. And the scripture says God will keep us in perfect peace, He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind stays on thee, because He trusts in thee. So when you trust in God, you can live an unbothered life. See, God wants you to live an unbothered life. See, God doesn't want you worried about what's going on in the world, what's going on in your reality. He doesn't want you to worry about that. He wants you to be thankful. He wants you to live an unbothered life. He wants you to live a life of peace. And when you live that life of peace, then sometimes peace can either do one or two things. Peace can irritate somebody, or peace can inspire somebody. See, you can know when peace irritates somebody, because they're like, well, why are they so at peace? Or why are they like this? Or why are they like that? Or they criticize you for being at peace or being at peace. But when you inspire someone to be at peace, then you inspire someone to trust in God. And that's what our life should do. Our life should inspire someone to trust in God. So Let's seal this with prayer this morning. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. We thank you, Lord God, that we will live an unbothered life. I thank you, Lord God, for each and every person who is under the sound of my voice, Lord God, here in person, Lord God, on live stream, Lord God, on the podcast. We thank you, Lord God, that they will apply the principles of wisdom to their life, Lord God, so that they can live a principled life in honest devotion to you. So, God, we love you and we thank you. We honor you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for peace that surpasses understanding. We thank you that this word, Lord God, will go to many people, Lord God. So we love you. We thank you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you are here this morning and you desire to be saved, you desire to have a relationship with Christ, I want to open up the opportunity for you to do so. Because that's really what it's all about. We have to have a relationship. We have to develop a relationship with Christ and keep developing that relationship. Keep growing in that relationship. Keep going from glory to glory in that relationship. So